It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the late show. Henry was in earlier on Drive Time. Steve Thompson sitting in. Lindsey Brown, our producer tonight. Chris Tubbs, parts unknown this evening. Thanks so much for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow. Big day, college football, conference championship games, D2, D3 playoffs. We'll have game reports, all the scores, and more after 4:30 tomorrow here on College Football Final. And College Football Final winding down rapidly. Then it's kind of on to the playoff and the bowl season. Right now we're going to talk MLB, and we are certainly pleased to be joined by Odyssey MLB insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Hey, Bob, good to visit with you.
Yeah, you too, Steve.
And if I don't start with the Juan Soto sweepstakes, I would be making a big mistake. We're talking almost Ohtani money here.
Yeah, which is crazy to me, Steve, in the sense that, I mean, Ohtani actually made the Dodgers money. I mean, they might have made $120 million off of him, you know, because of the ticket sales, merchandising, Japanese corporations that came over. Soto doesn't do that. I mean, he's, you know, brings some fans, but he's not going to bring a whole bunch of corporate sponsors and things like that. So it's wild how, you know, that this guy's going to get over, you know, $600, $650 million.
And a lot of clubs rumored to be in the mix. Where does it stand right now, Bob? Who's in on Soto?
14. The Dodgers were never in on him. I mean, they just went a World Series without him. And remember now, Steve, I mean, they saw Soto firsthand in the same division, so they kind of asked themselves, too, if Soto was this great, then why would the San Diego Padres so much better last year without him than they were with him? So, you know, they made the playoffs last year. They scared the Dodgers to death, you know, after they had already traded Soto. But, yeah, so obviously the Mets are still, you know, you talk executives. They still think that they're the team to beat in this just because of Steve Cohen. I mean, no one's going to outbid them. If they want them, they'll grab them. You know, Yankees are right there, obviously, in the Boston Red Sox. I think the Blue Jays, even though they could be right there money-wise, I think it's just too much to ask. I think they'd have to blow everybody out of the water just because they haven't made the playoffs in a while. Who knows what's going to happen to Vladimir Guerrero? Just too many questions.
Yeah, and isn't there kind of that tax discrepancy as well? I know that can be one of those where they might have to bid a lot more for the dollars to equal out. I'm not sure how that works, you know, at this moment in time, but I've heard that before.
Sure, sure. Yeah, all those factors. I mean, just you know, going through customs, everything else. I mean, you know, as beautiful as a city as Toronto is, and people love playing there, it's tough to get guys to come.
Red Sox, they haven't made a big splash in a long time. They've been kind of plodding along. And I would assume their great fan base is getting a little restless, that they want the Red Sox to jump in and be competitive and start bringing in some name ball players. They have a good club, but they've been kind of in the middle of the pack for a while.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think they saw that people were getting disgusted. People were getting upset. Like, hey, spend some money here. You're, you know, almost $100 million below the luxury tax. Yeah, I'm not sure the payroll was much bigger than the Twins last year. So, yeah, I mean, here's that team, you know, obviously made a huge blunder by trading away Mookie Betts. You pretty much getting nothing for him. And he's going to watch, you know, Mookie Betts go to the Hall of Fame in a Dodger uniform. You know, didn't re-sign, you know, Xander Bogaerts, which might have been a good deal considering Bogaerts' struggles. The Chris Sale fiasco, watching him get a Cy Young, even though they paid his entire salary. So just on and on. So I think now they're saying, you know what, we got to do something. So if they don't get Soto, I think they'll still go get a Max Fried or Corbin Burns, you know, and do other things. I think they'll spend as much money as anybody in the offseason.
Yeah, and they're not terrible. They were a 500 club. They were in the mix, but that's thanks to expanded wild card. So the sense would be among the fan base, they're not that far away.
No, they're not. You're absolutely right. They hung in there last year. They were kind of a surprise team, hanging in the races as long as they did. They have a terrific farm system. So, yeah, they're knocking the door. So I think, you know, get the right pieces here. You know, there's no reason why they can't get in the playoffs with the extra wild card teams.
Bob, the big story, and it's been like this for a long, long time, pitching, and finding pitching, and you want good to great pitching, you're going to pay.
Yeah, I mean, look at it now. I mean, you know, they haven't – Corbin Burns and Max Fried haven't thrown a pitch since the October 1st and October 2nd, the playoffs, and their value has just skyrocketed. Because they're paying, you know, $21, $22 million for guys who aren't even close to them. You know, when you're looking at guys like, you know, Luis Severino, you know, getting the $67 million from the A's of all teams. Nick Martinez getting $21 million. So these guys are going to clear $200 million easily.
Yeah. Speaking of the A's, did that move surprise you?
He did, but not the fact they spent money. A few agents and club executives had told me at the GM meetings that they have to spend money because of their revenue sharing. You just can't keep taking money. You know, they got a free relocation pass to Las Vegas. So I think people are getting upset, like, hey, you better spend some money here. You know, we're not just paying you for you to put in your pocket to build a new stadium in Las Vegas. So they were telling people they had to get to a $100 million payroll. I think it was only about, you know, high 60s last year.
And a big milestone, Matt. They're getting ever closer to that ballpark becoming a reality in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people in Oakland are pretty upset in the sense that, wait a minute, now you spent $67 million on the pitcher. How can you do it here? You're going to spend $1.3 billion of your own money for a new ballpark. You know, how can you do it here? So people are upset, but, you know, they're paying the thing. They're paying the freight. And should be good to go in 3 years at the old Tropicana hotel site.
Yeah, and how much concern is there among the other owners, people around the game, about playing the games in a minor league ballpark in Sacramento? It's blazing hot there in the summer. I mean, this is not an ideal situation.
No, and that's why they had to take the Players Association really, you know, jump down their throats and say, hey, we don't want our physical turf here. It's just too hot. You know, we went through those days in Kansas City and St. Louis, how hot it was. And you saw the heat rising from the ground, you know, 140 degrees. So they say, you don't want to go through that thing again. So they're playing natural grass, and they can replace grass, you know, a few times a year if they have to. So, you know, they're going to make the stadium as nice as possible, you know, brand new clubhouses, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's tough for Major League Baseball because, you know, Tampa Bay Rays are going to do the same thing. They got to play at George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa where the Yankees had their spring training. So you got 30 teams, and two of them now are going to be playing in minor league ballparks.
Well, and with all due respect, I've never seen the ballpark in Sacramento, but I've been by Steinbrenner Field in Tampa because it's right there by Raymond James Stadium and the airport. I mean, it's hard to miss. That has more of a big league feel just because it's where the Yankees train and they draw really well in the spring.
Yeah, you know, and people in the St. Pete area have always said, like, hey, you know, you draw more fans, you're on Tampa. It's too tough for the traffic and to go over the bridge in St. Yeah. Pete. So it'd be interesting to see if they keep, you know, selling out the place or what happens. I think the concern in Sacramento is that ball's going to fly, you know, just with the altitude there and everything else. So everybody says it's a bandbox that you're going to see people hit, you know, 50, you know, someone from the A's, maybe a Rucker or something like that, you know, hit 50 home runs.
Bob Nightingale joining us, and Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Let's jump back to the winter meetings. You did have a note on one signing in the American League Central Division, Shane Bieber coming back with the Guardians.
Yeah, so I said he's going back, and you know, too bad what happened last year. He had trained all off season to avoid Tommy John surgery, and then blew out his elbow. You know, two starts into the season, so you know they think he'll be ready mid season. He'll get $10 million, you know, next year, and then they an option for him for $16 million the following year. But he knows the trainers and doctors; they know him. If he's going to rehab and come back, it certainly makes sense for him to do it in Cleveland.
Yeah, and Bob, you know, beyond that, and clubs looking for free agency, specifically in division, and as relates to the Twins, have you heard any news on the Poleds exploring a sale of the ball club? Because that kind of came out of the blue, and shocked a lot of people. You know, Carl Poled bought the club from Calvin Griffith. They won the two world championships. They got Target Field built. And now it looks like they're ready to move on. Have you heard anything on the Twins sale front?
It's been quiet, which means that nobody really has, stepped forward to, make qualifying offers, that sort of thing. So that the investment firm, run by Steve Greenberg, they've done a lot of sales. They keep things pretty quiet until towards the end. So I would think you'd have a number of people very interested in this. I mean, even Alex Rodriguez is interested, but obviously because the Timberwolves, you don't have that, doesn't have that kind of money or resources. But, a lot of people think the Twins are kind of a hidden gem, gorgeous ballpark, right downtown. So I don't think they'll, lack for suitors. I think they'll do quite well, for some kind of asking price, probably toward, $2 billion, at least 1.6. And then Washington Nationals, were up for sale for a while. They pulled it off because they didn't get, the sellers that they want. But, that's going to be up for sale as well. Baltimore went for $1.8 billion, and people thought that was too cheap. People thought it was a steal. So that's why I think the Twins should get close to, $2 billion.
Yeah, Camden Yard sure has aged well. It started that new trend. It's still phenomenal, and I know they've put money into the ballpark over the years, but what a genius move that was all those years ago, and it still looks great on TV anyway.
No, fabulous ballpark. You're right. I mean, poor Chicago White Sox, they had the last stadium like that, and then Larry Lucchino, who, he should probably be in the Hall of Fame one day because he did the Camden Yards, he did Petco Park. They redid the whole Fenway Park experience when he was there. So, but you're absolutely right. My two favorites, I still think Pittsburgh PNC is number one, and I think Target Field's number two. But I'll put Camden Yards, right there in top five for sure. Gorgeous ballpark.
Yeah, and you mentioned Petco, another one. I know a lot of Twins fans have been to Southern California and sure love that one. Hey, Bob, I did want to follow up on the White Sox story a little bit. Dreadful ball club a year ago. The ballpark situation on the south side. I've been there, didn't mind the ballpark. We'd stay in the loop and hop on the train, and when my kids were younger, we'd ride the red line down, and at that point in time, I think it was U.S. Cellular, and we'd watch the Sox play and get back on the train and head downtown. I didn't mind the ballpark at all, but it's definitely a club that something's got to give.
Yeah, I mean, they lose 121 games, even if you lose 100 next year, but considered a great season. So they got to do great in the Garrett Crochet trade. I mean, they got to get a lot for him. That's their big trade chip. I don't think they're going to get much for Luis Robert. They're asking a ton for him, but that's not going to happen. But I do think, you know, Crochet is going to have to start that rebuild. It's going to take a few years.
Yeah, and then finally on the White Sox situation, any news in a ballpark? I know they wanted to move closer to the loop. There's also been those rumors that the White Sox might move at some point. What have you heard on those fronts?
Yeah, they're not. They're definitely not for sale. They're not moving. They would like to go to the area. It's called Land Parcel 78 or something. But anyways, by Soldier Field there. The trouble is where they are now, there's nothing around it. There's not that many people that live by the ballpark. There's no restaurants or bars people hang out. And that's where you make the money. That's where everybody wants to do something like St. Louis has with the Ballpark Village, and Atlanta is a gold mine with the Battery. That's where you really make your money. And that's what, the White Sox want to do. Get a place where people want to go. And if you go to the South Loop area, just south of Soldier Field, there's a number of people that live there, and you can, build all kinds of bars and restaurants and make it a destination place. Just trouble is now when you go down to, the White Sox stadium in USL, it's just there's nothing there. There's nothing to do before the games or after the games.
Yeah, get on the train and head home. That's pretty much it from there. And then, Bob, winter meetings, big storylines going into it. I would assume there's going to be more chatter about Rob Manfred and his goal of getting more and more clubs under the MLB television umbrella. That's happening here in Minnesota with the Twins. Other clubs are signing on. Ultimately, a television deal and some television money stability for many of the clubs has got to be a huge part of the business side of it.
Oh, it is. Teams weren't spending that much money. Obviously you saw what the Twins did. Texas Rangers backed off. A number of teams did. San Diego now is under MLB umbrella. So, yeah, they like to get about three-quarters of the teams, under that umbrella. I mean, obviously the Dodgers aren't. They're getting $8.3 billion in their TV deal. The Yankees aren't, the Red Sox. So the big market teams won't be part of it. But I think they like to get at least three-quarters of their teams, into that sort of thing, make it a little bit like the NFL. So, there's more, growing unrest as far as the big market, small market type thing, as far as, being able to compete in that sort of thing. And I think that, that'll come to a head probably at the end of 2020-60 when the CBA is up and you have to negotiate a new deal. It seems like there's more and more dissatisfaction among owners as far as saying, hey, we can't compete with the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Mets.
Yeah, and especially good player. I don't know if he's a generational talent in Juan Soto, where we started, getting that kind of money from, handful of clubs that are in the bidding for him. Hey, Bob, it's always great. Thanks so much for the time, and hopefully we can do it again down the road.
We look forward to it. All right, happy holidays, Steve.
Yeah, happy holidays. There he is. Odyssey MLB insider Bob Nightingale, longtime reporter and columnist for USA Today. Insider calls are presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. We have more on the way here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It is the Late Show. Henry was in earlier on Drive Time for JD. And highlights of the show available online, WCCRadio.com, the Odyssey app. All the podcasts, all the shows are there. We invite you to enjoy that whenever you're looking for audio. Once again, the free Odyssey app or WCCRadio.com. I'll be back tomorrow at Tech Talk with Doug at 3. Computer problems, hardware, software, whatever, between 3 and 4. And then after 4, we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. And then college football playoff. We may run down some of the games. And locally, D2, D3 playoffs. 4 Minnesota teams still alive. D3, St. John's home to Susquehanna from Pennsylvania up at Collegeville. Bethel on the road at Wartburg in Iowa. And then in the third round of the D2 playoffs, Bemidji State at Minnesota State. And about an hour from now, we'll visit with the voice of the Beavers, Kevin Reed, a longtime producer here, once upon a time, Twins radio engineer, home and road, and now doing Bemidji State sports and radio up there. Kevin Reed will join us. We've all heard the story. It is a nationwide story about United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson's murder in New York. Well, the gunman who killed the CEO likely staying at other locations, apparently got food and drink at an establishment. They had video of him riding a bike down a street in Manhattan. It is almost insane to me. Now, if it helps apprehend the killer, that's fine. But it makes me think, how many minutes or how many hours a day am I under some sort of surveillance? Now, where I work full time during the week, we have security cameras. For instance, keeping an eye on the loading docks and the entryways, etc. Pretty typical in this day and age. But just in your daily travels, you park in a parking lot, you're probably under surveillance. You walk into a store, you are certainly under video surveillance. How many people have video cameras on their homes, on their property now? And it does make you think, and once again, if this technology brings a killer to justice, fine. But it still makes you pause. How many times a day and how many hours a day am I on video and someone's watching me? Now, I know the old saying, well, I don't have anything to hide. I'm not doing anything wrong. Not sure that's the point. It is 7:32. We'll have the weather in a moment. And then still to come on the program, we're going to talk NFL. We're getting right down to it. The season is winding down. The playoffs are in sight. We'll talk some of the games. We'll have picks. I'll pick some games. We'll get Lindsay's picks here on the Lake Show. Steve Thompson in on News Talk 830-WCCO.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are getting right down to it in the NFL. We're in December. We all know what that means. December football, the playoff push, all of that. The Lions made a statement with a very good win, 34-31 Thursday night. Lions 12-1, lead the NFC. The Packers 9-4, still very much in the hunt. Good ball game last night. And Dan Campbell, we talked about it at the top. Kind of the roll of the dice, don't give the ball back. They could have kicked the field goal, but would have given Green Bay time to maybe tie or potentially win. Goes for it on fourth down in his own territory, gets a little closer, kicks a field goal with no time on the clock. Lions win 34-31, and they move on. And that sets the stage for a very interesting weekend in the NFL. Now, if you look at the standings right now, run through the AFC, Buffalo, they're going to win the East. Pittsburgh and Baltimore fighting it out in the North. Houston, two-game lead over Indianapolis, but they're a game under 500. I don't think you can take any club at this time of the year until they're 500. You can't take them seriously. They're a game under Houston in good shape in the South, and then out West, it's all about Kansas City. But they have a big showdown with the L.A. Chargers, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. And Denver, maybe one of the bigger surprises in the NFL this year. Had no idea that Denver would be this competitive. And, Lindsay, I don't know about you, but you look at all the stories in the NFL, both conferences, up and down these divisions.
Mm-hmm.
Denver might be one of the bigger surprises, sitting there at 8-5 in a pretty good spot in the playoffs.
And I hate it so much, Steve. I hate it so much because I'm the biggest Sean Payton hater, for all of the reasons that local fans know. But then also there's just something about dudes with visors that really bugs me. Like, if you're going to do it, go full bit, get some frosted tips and just run with it and do your skull chant. And you're right. They're a big surprise this year. I think Bo Nix has done extremely well.
Yeah.
And you know, Sean Payton, people were poo-pooing him right after the draft, having you saying, you know, giving lip service to the guy he picked, Bo Nix, best quarterback in this draft class. He is a pretty good shot to win Rookie of the Year right now, to be totally honest. And so it really sucks when the people you despise are good at what they do, and it looks like he's getting things turned around there.
Yeah, he is a jerk. Very, very unlikable. NFC, Philly in good shape. Washington lurks, could be a playoff team, but I think they've shown some of their flaws. They got rid of Dan Snyder. They're headed in the right direction.
The biggest flaw.
Yeah, maybe the biggest owner flaw among some really bad dudes.
Mm-hmm.
There's owners all across sports. But Dan Snyder's got to be right near the top of the list. So they're rid of him. It sounds now that he's out the door, they may get a stadium situation on the old RFK site right there in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see about that. But a once proud franchise headed in the right direction, but the Eagles playing great. And I still can't figure this out. And before we get to the picks and buzz through those, is what happened to Philly at the end of last season still puzzles me on how they just completely collapsed. And then they came out of the gate, and it's like, and now they're on fire, and you've got to put Lions, Eagles 1-2 in the NFC.
Yeah, I think you absolutely have to. And just what I remember about that magical run that they went on to that Super Bowl, there was this kind of transcendent belief in Jalen Hurts and what he was able to accomplish and find a way, be that leader, put his body on the line. We've all seen the social media posts of him squatting, right? But this time around, there's a different hero, and he's also a big-time squatter, and that's Saquon Barkley. And I think that once they're able to get going, because let's not forget that Jason Kelce retired, so you have a brand-new guy snapping the ball. That's going to take a minute to get everybody, get all their ducks in the row. And then you're able to get that running game figured out and what that offense is, because you're taking a lot off the plate of Jalen Hurts, who does like to scamper a bit. And so you're saying, hey, Jalen, stay a little bit in that pocket, because we got this guy to do all that. And they've been nearly unstoppable ever since.
Yeah, Barkley, a great move. And to bring him in, and it still goes back to one thing. And I know running backs have been devalued in the NFL, unfortunately, because you need a running game in this league. You still need to be able to run the football effectively to free up your quarterback. And these running quarterbacks in general, they're eventually going to get killed. You can't have – they have to be able to pick their spots. You can't lean on the quarterback running week in and week out. And then, of course, Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, deepest division in the NFL, the NFC North. Green Bay in very good shape. And then in the South, you have, well, the South, you have Atlanta, Tampa, 6-6. And that gets back to the huge game. Kirk Cousins comes to town. Atlanta's struggling. They've dropped three in a row. Big, big game for them. And then, of course, Tampa Bay. And we'll talk more about that. New Orleans and also ran. Carolina terrible. Out west, Seattle 7-5. Arizona, the LA Rams 6-6. San Francisco, as bad as they looked in Buffalo, terrible in the snowstorm in Buffalo, they're still alive at 5-7. So the West, certainly wide open. So that's where we stand right now. And we're going to get into some of the picks. We'll take a break. We'll come back, finish them off. We'll save Falcons, Vikings until the end. Panthers, Eagles, listen to this number, Lindsay, 13.5-point favorites at home. Gigantic number. Really hard to cover that, because the Eagles could be up 24 donut at halftime, and the Panthers could come back at garbage time, and the game could end up being 27-20.
It's a trap.
Yeah, it is. I like the Eagles to win. I hate that 13.5. If I gambled on sports, I wouldn't get near that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I barely understand numbers.
Yeah. Browns, Steelers. Browns.
Do you believe in Jameis Winston? Do you believe in the spirit of Jameis Winston to transcend a Steelers defense that's been snarling and a pretty damn good Russell Wilson since he's taken over?
What are they doing?
I don't know.
What have they been doing since that franchise has been reborn? That's all you can ask. What are they doing? Has there ever been a plan? Has it ever made sense? Steelers by 7 at home, 9-3. Mike Tomlin still doesn't get enough credit. Phenomenal head coach. The stability there is legendary. Three coaches since, like, forever. I think three coaches in the history of colored TV is what they've had.
Sliced bread and Betty White, something like that.
Right. Exactly. Steelers win and cover. I see no scenario where the Browns win that game. Steelers are going to roll at home. How do you feel about it?
I would put my faith in the Steelers as well. This is right around the time where you want these teams that are contenders to get to their best football. And while they've been a little bit inconsistent at times, it's a really favorable record. And I think that division, just people beat up each other all year long, and it's just kind of the last one standing. I'd have to look at the remaining schedule, but they seem to be playing a lot cleaner than they were injury-wise in last season.
Oh, yeah, Browns, Steelers, Ravens, that's old school. We're not going to spend a lot of time. Jaguars, Titans, I take the Titans. That's going to be, like, sent to 3% of the country. Jags, Titans. That isn't going to be seen by a lot of folks on TV this week. Raiders, Bucks. Once again, Raiders, forgettable season, 2-10. Bucks, 6-6, still in the mix, favored by 6.5. They'll win. I don't know if they'll cover. Saints, Giants, 2 also-rans. Flip a coin.
Makes me want to throw up in my mouth more than the Jags Titans matchup.
Yeah, just two dreadful matchups. Jets, Dolphins. Dolphins on the edge of the playoffs. I don't know how you feel about it. And then we'll break and come back and finish off the schedule in a moment. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets having a bad year is just awesome.
Delicious.
It is. It's like one of my favorite stories in sports, and I hate to be that guy.
It's okay, Steve. It's okay. Be that guy. Embrace it. Because you know what? You love seeing things completely decimate when you made decisions earlier on that set you up for this exact fate. And so I love seeing people get what they paid for, personally.
And a year ago, I didn't want him to get hurt. I never, ever. I don't care how much I did. I would never do that. But for him to come out of the gate and be healthy, and they just stink. That's just a rotten organization head to toe. It's just beautiful. I like the Dolphins to get it done at Hard Rock Stadium. By the way, one of my favorite remodels in sports history is what they did to Hard Rock. I think it's cool. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll even talk Vikes-Falcons. Get a pick on that in a moment. It is the Lake Show. Steve and Lindsay in tonight for Henry and Chris here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. All right, back to the NFL and some of the games this week. Seattle, Arizona, State Farm Stadium, Glendale, Arizona. Cardinals favored by 2.5. Seahawks 7-5. Cardinals 6-6. Huge game in the NFC West. Oh, this is tough. I'll take the Cardinals at home. You look at that spread. Cardinals 2.5. I think they win and cover at home. That division will probably go down to the final weekend. Bills, Rams, SoFi Stadium, Sunday. Late window, 3:25 window. Bills were phenomenal at home in Buffalo in the snow, demolishing the 49ers. Rams sneaky good. I still think the Bills get it done. They're favored by 3.5 on the road. They are 10-2. They look really good, and maybe the biggest threat at the moment in the AFC. I know there's others that are kind of saying, don't sleep on the Ravens, don't sleep on the Chargers. I still think the Bills' biggest threat to Kansas City to get to the Super Bowl and try and win their third in a row. Bears, 49ers. 49ers going in the wrong direction, but a great opportunity to stay in the mix for the division, beating the Bears at Levi's Stadium. Another 3:25 start there. They are favored by 3.5 at home. I think the 49ers get it done. A lot of turmoil with the Bears, as you may have heard. Chargers, Chiefs from Kansas City. That is Sunday night football. Chargers really good. Jim Harbaugh, whether you hate him, whether you love him, this guy's got it done wherever he's been. I think he's a little kooky, but he knows the game and has a pretty good quarterback. I always felt like the Chargers were close, but didn't have the coaching. This could be an upset. Kansas City, you smoke and mirrors to beat the Raiders. Then they get beat. So now I think the Chargers could pull the upset. Kansas City by four, but they are 11-1, and they are the two-time defending Super Bowl champs, and I still got to stick with them. I mean, I don't gamble on sports, but if I did, there's no way I could pick against them, particularly at home at Arrowhead. Monday night game, Bengals-Cowboys. Cowboys hanging in there. They're not officially eliminated and have been playing better. And they've been playing better since Mike McCarthy got the dreaded vote of confidence from Jerry Jones saying, hey, he might be my coach next year. I mean, not that that's a real vote of confidence, but and the Bengals, so much talent. Joe Burrow, love Joe Burrow, but just a dreadful defensive team. I think the Cowboys get it done at home again and move to within a game of 500 and keep hope alive. So there it is. Some of the picks in the NFL this week. Now, I also, while we have a moment, conference championship games in college football tomorrow. There's obviously some big ones. And then, as I mentioned, we're going to be keeping an eye on the D2 and D3 playoffs here. D2, Bemidji State at Minnesota State, Mankato. That's the D2 quarterfinals tomorrow in Mankato. And we'll have a game report on that one. Kevin Reed will join us here in about 40 minutes or so to preview that. D3, St. John's at home to Susquehanna in the D3 playoffs in Collegeville. And Bethel will be on the road at Wartburg of Iowa. All right, two tonight. Mountain West Championship, UNLV Boise State. Boise State leading at 7-0, quarter number two. In quarter number two, American Athletic Championship, Army all over Tulane, 14-0, once again, early second. Saturday, Big 12, Iowa State, Arizona State. That's at 11 a.m. At 3, Georgia, Texas, SEC Championship. No Bevo, not allowed. Bevo not allowed at the SEC Championship game in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They said there's no room for Bevo. Tomorrow night, CBS, Big Ten Championship, Lucas Oil Stadium, Penn State, Oregon. I think the Ducks are just going to put a beat down on the Nittany Lions tomorrow night. And then, finally, ACC Championship, Clemson SMU in Charlotte, and that is a night game. So there you go, big day in college football. The championship games will be played. And we should mention FCS, North Dakota State, South Dakota, and South Dakota State will all be in action tomorrow as well. And we'll keep an eye on those scores in the FCS playoffs. And, of course, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, the gold standard among FCS teams. All right, we got to run. We have all the news and weather at 8. And then my good friend, the vet, Dr. Gene Gieske, will join us. How to keep your pet healthy during the winter months and safe during the holidays. That's on the way.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.